Good morning. The open session of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, May 23rd will now come to order. We have we have three things on the agenda, and other than the minutes, the very important minutes. But let me say a couple of things about the schedule before we get started. I'm going to flip it around. We have Mr. Engel here to talk about his AO request, so we'll probably call that up first so that he's not just sitting around waiting. The other draft advisory opinion, 2018-12 for defending digital campaigns, as I'm sure many people have heard, we resolved that on tally. The draft, the actual answer was made public yesterday or the day before. And I just want to say a couple of words about that. I'm really pleased that we were able to resolve it. Every member of the commission was very concerned about the issue of cybersecurity and the need of the campaigns and the party committees to protect themselves. And we all worked very hard to find a place where we could land. I think that every commissioner would probably say that the result was not the advisory opinion that any of us would have written individually, but I thought it was a really productive exercise in us working very hard to find someplace in the middle that we all found, if not ideal, then acceptable. And I think it's a good result. I want to thank all of my colleagues for their hard work on that. I particularly want to thank the vice chairman for his efforts to help us bring it all together. Who knows? Maybe it will be the start of a new and more productive era where exercising those muscles of compromise, you know, maybe we'll kind of get them a little bit stronger and be able to find common ground on a few more things. I think that would really be an excellent step forward for the commission. So I think we did something good. I'm proud of it, and it'll be a boon to campaigns and party committees throughout the country, and I hope everybody takes advantage of the good services that are going to be made available to them now. We did it in a way that obviously, for me, it was very important that we not that cybersecurity not become a venue for opening up a new dark money loophole. And I think the advisory opinion addresses that in requiring disclosure and in ensuring that the groups that are going to be supporting the endeavor are not going to themselves be dark money groups. I think it reaches a good result. Like I said, not an ideal result from anybody's perspective, but a result that we could all be satisfied with and proud of, and I'm proud of the effort. So I don't know if anybody has anything else they want to say about the thing that we've already done, but so having said that, that is resolved, and we no longer need to discuss it. So with that, we will go back to we'll do the minutes, and then we'll discuss advisory opinion 2019-05, and then I have a few words to say about the draft interpretive rule, which we will not be voting on today, but I have some comments on it. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll make two motions. The first is I move to suspend the rules on the time of submission of agenda documents in order that the commission may consider agenda documents number 19-21-A, 18-43-E, and 19-18-B.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 And the motion passes unanimously. Mr. Vice Chairman, again.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of the minutes for the meeting held on April 11th, 2019, as set forth in agenda document number 19-20-A.
The Vice Chairman has moved approval of the minutes for the meeting of April 11th, 2019, as set forth in agenda document 19-20-A. Any discussion on the motion? If not, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 And the motion passes unanimously. So the next item we're going to discuss is draft advisory opinion 2019-05. I don't know if Mr. Engel wants to come on up again. We've had some revisions to the to the, both the request, and late yesterday we put out a new draft answer. I don't know if, Council, do you have anything that you'd like to say about the new request or answer?
Yes, Chair Weintraub. I'll just briefly go through the drafts.
Thank you, Ms. Villmire.
Thank you, Chair Weintraub, and good morning, Commissioners. Before you are agenda documents 19-18-A and 19-18-B, alternative draft advisory opinions responding to a request from System 73, which is an incorporated communications technology network. The requester asks whether it may enter into a license agreement with a political committee for the exclusive rights to live stream the committee's events. The requester initially proposed to pay political committees a license fee for live stream rights. Based on that information, Draft A concluded that the proposal would result in prohibited corporate contributions. Following the last open meeting, the requester submitted supplemental information stating that it no longer plans to pay political committees as part of the proposed license agreements. In light of that supplemental material, Draft B concludes that System 73's proposal, as revised, is permissible because it's within the media exemption. We did not receive any comments on the request. We received one comment on Draft A from the requester. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Villmire. Anybody have any comments on the draft or any questions for Council, our Council, or Mr. Engel? Mr. Vice Chairman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand you may have a proposal that you were going to bring up, but I just wanted to see if Mr. Engel had any comments about the draft as released yesterday. Didn't have a whole lot of time. We apologize for that for you to review, but just wanted to get your immediate feedback on any questions or concerns you have about that draft.
Sure. Thank you. You know, early on in my career, I learned how to take yes for an answer. Just sit quietly and wait for the vote. And as tempted as I am to do that, I have just one comment to make. And it is this, that the draft reaches the correct conclusion, in my opinion, and it notes that in three or four advisory opinions, the authority that it cites talks about a company doing something for free, and that we here are now also trying to do something for free, and that that's a match. So this should also be approved. Free was not the point of those prior advisory opinions. It was a fact in those opinions that what the media provider suggested they were going to do was something for free. It could have easily been 10% off, half price, not marked up to the retail amount. So I just don't want free, which is a fact, to be confused with the law, which is, are you a media company engaged in legitimate media operations? Sometimes that may be free, sometimes that may be not. Here, it's a match on the facts and the law, but in the future, if the facts don't match, the law still might.
Well, I do, I appreciate the comment. I think that one issue that we were looking at with respect to the now you've changed the request so it no longer involves the licensing fees, which, you know, as we discussed last time, were of some concern to me, and I appreciate that. There's still a reference to the interactive services that are going to be available to the requester, and it's my understanding based on discussions that you've had with our council that anything that is provided to the committees would be at fair market value. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, which is, of course, standard under the regulations. It's, you know, perfectly fine to provide things at fair market value. I We released this opinion, the latest blue draft, fairly late in the day yesterday, and I don't know that anybody besides you would be moved to comment on it, but the public hasn't had a chance to see it very much. I personally, as you may know, was testifying on Capitol Hill yesterday, so I was a little bit out of pocket this week myself. And when I was reviewing the draft last night, I thought that some of the discussion of the old AOs was perhaps a little bit confusing and could better be streamlined. So I think that we may not actually vote on this right now. I agree with the result. I want to provide you with that comfort. I agree with the result. I think we may have a revised version of the latest draft, you know, probably ready to go today that we could make public and give both you and the public a few days to review that. The 60 days runs when?
May 31st. May 31st. The extension that they've granted.
So we could vote on tally on this. There's no. I don't think it's necessary. You're always welcome here, Mr. Engel. I don't think it's necessary to have another meeting where we bring you back in. But that, I believe, is given how late we got the blue draft out. I think that both for the purposes of making sure the public has a chance to actually, anybody who's interested has a chance to read it and see it, and because, as I said, I think I want to tweak some of the citations. And the discussion of the old AOs, but I would not anticipate that the result would change. At least I am prepared to support the result.
Thank you. May 31st would be fine.
Anybody else have any? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just don't want to add much more than what you said, other than that I think we're heading down a productive path for the Commission, reaching a consensus position that I think it would be to your to you and your clients. Liking. So I'm pleased to hear that we may be able to do this very quickly within the next few days so that you don't have to come back here anytime soon again, at least with respect to this matter. We're always glad to have you back for any other requests that you might bring before the commission. But I think we're heading down a good path on this matter and hope we conclude this very soon.
Commissioner Walton. I understand I'm not aware of anything that would stop us from moving forward 90% the way this is. So that shouldn't be a concern. But I did want to say I think it's a credit to your representation to your client that when you saw that issue that we had, rather than trying to hammer home, you took a good look at how else it could still be get done,
right.
And it worked.
Right, thank
and,
you.
And that's a nice thing for a client to have, as somebody that can take a look and make it work.
Thank you.
I have always found Mr. Engel to be an extremely cooperative attorney in working with our staff and helping to get to a good result.
Thank you. Thank you.
Commissioner Hunter?
And I support the draft as well. Just so you know where everyone stands.
Thank you. So I do too.
You seem to be looking at four yeses. We're just going to, you know, tweak the language a little bit and give the public, I think, a little bit more time to review it and you as well. Anything else?
Not from me.
Okay. From any of my colleagues. In that case, you will be hearing from us shortly, Mr. Engel.
Thank you all, commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is, again, something we're not going to vote on. It's a draft interpretive rule on paying for cybersecurity using party-segregated accounts. As I said at the outset of the meeting, the issue of cybersecurity is of deep concern, I think, to every member of the commission. And based on what I was hearing at a hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday, it's of great concern to members of Congress and to folks in other parts of the government, DHS, DOJ, the EAC, obviously. So I think a lot of people in government are thinking hard about ways to shore up our defenses as a nation, as a democracy, against cyber attacks. This proposal was another attempt to address that. I think that we have made a good step forward with the DDCAO in providing a way for campaigns and party committees to get access to cybersecurity services. But that may not solve the problem for everyone in the country. You know, I don't think there was ever any intent that would be the they would be the sole source provider of cybersecurity services for political actors in the country. And obviously, these things can be expensive. And then the question is always, you know, how are campaigns to pay for it? You know, will they pay for it if they feel that it's going to take away from their the funds they need to get their message out? This proposal is based on a bill from Senator Wyden's office that had widespread support. And I thought, well, maybe we could do it here. I think that I proposed it as an interpretive rule because I thought that was the fastest way to get it done. As my colleagues know, I'm also interested in trying to move forward on a number of rulemaking fronts, including a rulemaking to address the segregated accounts that were set up under what we call the Cromnibus, which the commission is long overdue in addressing by regulation. And I'm hoping that we could do a rulemaking on that, perhaps get an NPRM out this summer. And I'm looking forward to working with my colleagues on that. This could be folded into that if people feel it is more appropriate for a rulemaking in the rulemaking context than as an interpretive rule. You know, I respect that. As I said, the reason that I proposed it as an interpretive rule is because it could be done quicker and could get the resources out there to the community quicker. A rulemaking, you know, if we are we had an NPRM out this summer, there would be 60 days for comments. We could have a hearing in the fall, and we'd be lucky to get a rule done by the end of the year, frankly. So that would be a much longer range project, and even that would probably be a lot quicker than I would anticipate any legislation actually passing and getting signed into law on the Hill, because they seem to have their own problems with getting legislation done on even on these important topics. So I'm looking for creative paths forward, and I appreciate the comments. We have gotten a couple of comments, and it came up at the hearing yesterday. I'll pass that along. We've gotten a couple of comments, including some a comment from someone who supported the Wyden bill but doesn't seem to support the interpretive rule. So, you know, I'll have to kind of sort through what that means. And I'm sure that there are other people who will want a chance to comment on the idea as well. As I said, it's I'm looking for constructive and creative ways to help committees protect themselves. And anybody else who wants to suggest to the commission other constructive and creative ways forward in that regard, I am happy to hear about it. So as I said, I was not anticipating a vote on this today. I don't know if any of my colleagues have any comments on the proposal that they want to make. Does not look like it. Okay. Commissioner Walther.
Yeah, I have some comments. I did want to thank, one thing that I hate to do is to file something important right before the hearing and not have the public have a chance to comment on it, but we did get two comments. One from Democracy 21 and from the Campaign Legal Center, both of whom have strident, you know, comments about how it would be illegal for us to try and contemplate going in this direction unless the statute was to change, which, of course, hopefully that would be something that could be done. But to try and imagine that we can find a position where we can actually use this building fund money solely for building to try and use it for other purposes, I think, is a leap way beyond what's reasonable. And it was kind of upsetting to me to see us doing that. And for example, in the one comment by Democracy 21, it says, but the proposed interpretive rule to allow parties to use their building fund accounts for cybersecurity spending is not the way to do this. Good ends do not justify illegal means, and the proposed rule in service of worthy cause twists the law beyond recognition. And I would agree with that. However, I mean, I can see that in the comments that money has been spent from these accounts that don't seem to be very close to the statutory mandate, but that doesn't mean that we should try and maybe legalize it with an interpretive rule and do the same thing. So, and I see that the Office of General Counsel's opinion or draft tries to accomplish it, but I don't think it's even close to justifying going in that direction. So And I see all four, you know, that there's a recommendation from this draft that we can do it, but there certainly is a huge leap between the law and where we'd land with this. So just some thoughts.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate that. And I also appreciate that building funds have a long and checkered history. I was honestly surprised when Congress decided to bring back the concept of building funds after they had been abolished in BCRA. And I'm not actually a huge fan of any of these segregated funds because of the enhanced amount of money that the party committees are able to raise in these separate pots of money. It's a much higher contribution limit. But Congress did do that. Congress did provide that authority to the committees to raise money into these accounts. And then the question is, what can they use them for? And I appreciate the concern of folks who are afraid that it's going to turn into something that could be used for a variety of purposes that are not related to the original, what the statute seemed to contemplate. I do think that when we get to the rulemaking, and this is a concern that has been raised by some of the same folks who commented on this, one of the things that we are going to be called upon to do is to provide some guidance on exactly what the party committees can use these funds for. And some of the same folks who've commented on this, who say, you know, well, you can't say what it can be used for, appear to want us to say what it can't be used for. So, you know, I think it's those concepts go together. It's hard to say what you can do without what you can't do without also saying what you can do. But I do think this is a topic that obviously is one that's going to require more comment and more thought. And as I said, if people have more ideas about ways that we can move the ball forward on this, I am open to them. And I am, and I do think it is long overdue for us to do that rulemaking and to try and put out a more comprehensive set of proposals and get more and provide the public with comment. And it was, you know, I told my colleagues I was thinking about this at the end of last week, and we had a document that we put on blue on Monday. So obviously that did not provide much time for anybody, either here inside the building or outside the building, to give it much thought. I want to say, I need to own this. I asked our council for assistance in putting together a proposal that would be based on the ideas that were in Senator Wyden's bill. And they were sensational and fast and expert in their advice, and I very much appreciate it. Particularly Mr. Wenzinger really turned around a document in record time, and I very much appreciate it. But don't blame them if you don't like what's in it, Commissioner, because I asked them to do it. So I need to own that. Commissioner Hunter, did you want to say something?
Sure. To the extent that we're going to be able to do a rulemaking on the overall funds in the future, you know, I would just ask my colleagues to work together to put something out public with, you know, working together before it's made public. As you noted, this one was made public, you know, before any of us were consulted. My understanding is that your office wrote it with some help from the Office of General Counsel, because, as you know, the Office of General Counsel, you know, isn't able to write these types of things without agreement from the commissioners to draft something. And so I just don't want to go down a path of putting out guidance on the overall Cromnibus stuff that doesn't have the support of the commission. I think it is going to be difficult to come up with a rule that gets four votes, in part because I think we look at it from a completely different perspective. The chair just noted, I think you said, you were surprised that Congress did this, and you weren't too wild about the fact that it was a lot of money. I think you said something along those lines.
Something like that.
And so, you know, Congress obviously has the authority to do that. They thought it was important to give the parties more money to do these certain things. And the money is disclosed, hard money. Right. And so For what, 1 minute we're worried about dark money that no one can see where it's coming from. Here's something that's hard money that's disclosed that was passed by Congress in a time where not much of this stuff is passed by Congress. And so to the extent some people are looking at it as, you know, the threshold is this is a bad thing and we need to, as you pointed out, some people may want to restrict it. Others of us are probably going to be saying, you know, this is something Congress wanted to do. The underlying purpose of it was to strengthen the political parties because they were emasculated after BCRA, and the money is now, you know, going to places where you guys don't like the dark money and all this other kind of stuff that you talk about. So I think it's a positive development, and I think that ideological disparity is going to make it hard to come up with a rule that gets four votes, just in the interest of transparency. And again, I want to be sensitive to making something blue that is either from a commission, from one commissioner and clearly stated that way, or from you know, the commission as a whole.
I appreciate that, and I think there is no mistake that we are not going to do anything that doesn't have the support of four commissioners. There is no way for us to do anything that doesn't have the support of four commissioners.
I'm just talking about putting out documents. At the front end.
Commissioners can put out their
they can put out, yes, they can put out their own documents, yes, as long as it's clear that it's coming from them. And also another thing is, you know, when we typically do MPRMs, we have, you know, if we have two different competing versions, we have a draft A and a draft B. And so that's a way around it. I mean, I'm not, you know, going to tell you can't put out your ideas, but if you do so, I think it should be clearly stated that it's your idea. And it might be useful to put an idea, a different idea, in the same document.
Well, as I said, I am open to any ideas on this topic. I was trying to build on the momentum that we had from the DDCAO and see if there were other ways of approaching the funding. And I completely agree with you that Congress passed this law, and there is no way for us to say, as commissioners, that they can't raise this money. They plainly can raise this money. This was an attempt to define one, what I thought was a constructive use of that money. But we will hash this out in the months to come, I can see.
I'm not actually even talking about the substance of this proposal. I'm not arguing with the substance of it. What I'm saying is, going forward, you alluded to doing a rulemaking later in the summer, I think you said. I'm talking about that. I'm saying let's get together and talk about what we might want to put forward to the public and try to present, you know, a united front if we all agree on what the MPRM is, or if we don't, then two different versions of it. I'm looking ahead. I'm not talking about the substance of this document.
And I completely agree with you that the NPRM, which, you know, they're I want to be careful what I say here. We're not starting from scratch on that. There have been some discussions, and I fully anticipate that. I am hopeful that we can put out an NPRM later this summer, and I would fully assume that it would, the NPRM would contain the input of all four commissioners. Absolutely. Commissioner Walther?
I agree, and I think we have had a very hard time coming up with ways in which we can get rules adopted. Everybody knows that. We'll make a draft, and then it'll sit there. This is an example, and we'd never quite get back in the room and hash it out, and it doesn't get done. And in this particular case, it's so wide open that I can see where we might have a heck of a hard time coming up with something right off the bat without some input from the parties. And I think we should maybe have a couple of meetings or hearings where we don't have drafts to worry about, but we just want to hear what their ideas are, because I really don't have any idea how we can craft rules when we really don't know exactly what other people are thinking who are going to receive the money. And so maybe I'm going to just suggest that we have a hearing without drafts, or just a meeting or that, to just begin the discussion, give us all ideas to go forward. In this particular case, I share the concern of Commissioner Hunter, because in this particular case, it was a blue draft I'd never seen before. And it was on behalf of, it says, please attach this to draft notice. We request this be placed on the agenda. And it's all signed by four people, the acting general counsel, acting associate general counsel, acting assistant general counsel, and an attorney on the staff. So when the public sees this, they think this is undoubtedly something that is close to, or probably at least has the assent of all of us. So I was concerned when I saw that, and I know we won't be doing it again in this matter, but that was one of the reasons why I had a concern about making sure we took a hard look at this. And I was glad to see that CLC and Democracy 21 really in about 24-hour, 36-hour notice and jumped in and provided some very helpful information also.
Well, I just want to be clear that I did circulate a draft to my colleagues at the end of last week and asked if anybody had any feedback on that before the draft was made blue. And if there was any confusion about this being a draft that was prepared on behalf of the entire commission as opposed to at my behest, then I apologize for that. Mr. Vice Chair.
Just, I think what's been said has been said. I knew that you were going to make it blue, so I mean, I didn't feel like this draft was. I had a chance to look at this draft. I didn't feel like it was. I knew that it was going to go blue and so forth. So, I'll just say that just to kind of on the larger issue of thinking of creatively about how to address this issue, I think that that's I can kind of underlying the proposal that you brought forward, and certainly that is something that we need to keep. Keep at the forefront of our minds going forward to think of creative ways to address an issue that is obviously not just a concern here. As you mentioned, it's obviously a concern up on Capitol Hill. It's a concern with the American public. And so I'm glad that seems to be an animating spirit in our discussions right now, and I look forward to continuing those discussions going down the road as well.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Any other comments? If not, this is a topic that I'm sure we will be returning to. Mr. Palmer, do we have any management and administrative matters?
Madam Chair, there are no such matters.
Thank you. In that case, this meeting is adjourned.